Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, verses 33 through 43. It begins, "When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.' They drew lots as a way of dividing up his clothing. The people were standing around watching, but the leader sneered at him, saying, 'He saved the others. Let him save himself if he really is the Christ sent from God, the chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him. They came up to him, offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you really are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' Above his head was a notice of the formal charges against him. It read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus insulted him, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.' Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him, 'Don't you fear God, seeing that you've also been sentenced to death? We are rightly condemned, for we are receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus replied, 'I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise.'" Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, prepare our hearts today. Give us some patience and let us hear what the gospel is saying to us through the Spirit and through the words that you put before us. May it guide us in the week ahead and give us some stability in a world where we're just patiently waiting for something new. In your holy name we pray. Amen. On Tuesday and Wednesday night of last week, as many of you saw, the night sky was painted with these brilliant colors, bright pink, glowing green, a small hint of blue, and a little bit of white, all backed with this canvas of a night sky with glowing stars. What a spectacular sight it was. And the best part of it all was this. All I had to do was walk out my front door and look up. In the numerous times I have seen the aurora, I have never seen so much pink, and there was a lot, too. There have been many times when the northern lights have been forecasted, then Steph and I will drive out to this very dark, remote road where there is total darkness, where there is no light pollution, just to see the waving cloudiness dancing. Usually in those moments, the only time you can see the true colors is through the camera of your phone. Then there have been those times on those cold winter nights where there is no wind, the ground is covered in snow, and the stars are shining bright, where you can instantly see the green dancing around the northern horizon. Oh, the excitement that show brings to the world, the posts on Facebook, the pictures on the news, so much excitement showing others what they could see if they just took the time, had a bit of patience, walked outside, and looked up. Maybe that's the problem. It takes time. Especially if you don't know what you're looking for. There have been so many people who have said they've never seen the northern lights, and don't get me wrong here, but on Wednesday, it was pretty obvious. But on Thursday, you really had to know what you were looking for. Honestly, that is the way it is most of the time. You can look up and never know they're there, especially if you don't know what you're looking for. So as we prepare to prepare, let me ask you this question. What are you looking for? Today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year. We begin with preparation. We move into celebrating birth. We travel with Jesus to the cross and we celebrate resurrection. Then we move through this normal time, reminding ourselves of what he taught us, of the people that he changed, and the struggles of being a disciple. And now we are right back once again at death. What a ride, am I right? And this is where we are today with our reading from Luke. We are standing with his mother Mary, his friend Mary Magdalene, John, and a few others, looking up at Jesus once again nailed to a cross. Yet are we mentally there? Are we spiritually there? Are we prepared once again for death, or are we too captivated with what is coming? Because sometimes that can get in the way. Here's a man who is humiliated, suffering, hurt from the injustices of the world. He has put in all this effort to change a system, to build these relationships in love, to send out others into the world, to show others what that love is all about. Yet here we sit, scratching our heads in disbelief, maybe asking ourselves, why? Why now? Should we run? Should we hide? Should we close our eyes and pretend that everything around us is perfect? Sometimes I think we need this small reminder of the current situation that is taking place here in Luke's gospel. We look around the world and what is happening. Every morning when I turn on the news or I open up Google, there's never anything good. But sometimes our vision of what the world is sugar-coated. How can this be? I've never seen it. I've never experienced it. So how? How can it exist? But here we are, we're sitting in the pews, listening, singing, praying, looking up toward the front of the church at this cross, when honestly, I believe we should be looking down. And why is that? Because I can't argue that when I look up to the sky, there are times when I do see God's miraculous signs. But when I look down, that is where I see Jesus' face. In the eyes, in the working hands, and the loving hearts of his disciples, it's where I see his grace. I often wonder how many people saw that same grace that day. Here's Jesus and two criminals making their way up to the place of the skull. This place was well known. In Psalm 22, it's said to be a place where they gape, shaking their heads. It's a place where lots are cast over the garments. And as it says in Psalm 69, it's a place where sour wine is given. But not just that, it is a place where people are mocked, a place where criminals are hung till their last breath. It's a place of suffocation. For some, it's a place of entertainment where people sit and watch as the convicted meet their demise. But today, there were three that were convicted and condemned. They were bloody and beaten as they carried those wooden crosses up to the skull. As they struggled to walk, those heavy wooden crosses bearing down on them, people spitting on them and mocking them, dirt getting kicked into their eyes. It's hard to find grace in those moments. Upon their arrival on top of that hill, the soldiers pushed them into the ground, tying their wrists and ankles to that old wood. They took hammers and drove metal spikes into those same ankles and wrists. standing those crosses into three holes as people looked up at them. The crowd watched, they cheered, they were truly the ones to be final judge and jury in their minds, all in the form of entertainment. But something was different that day. In the middle of these two common criminals was Jesus. You see, Jesus was a preacher. He was a prophet. He healed the sick. He ate with sinners. He was the Son of God. He is the Savior. Some even called him the Messiah. And yet a crowd found him guilty. They thought Barabbas was the one who should go free. Because of this, there he hung, dying on a cross, while the people looked up at him. There was a sign that hung above his head reading, "This is the King of the Jews." The truth is, not everyone there thought he was a criminal. There were some who couldn't grasp his purpose. If he is the one he says he is, then why is he hanging in front of me? Friends, in those moments when we are continually looking up and questioning, then at the same time, there are those moments when we need to look down and around. There are people who are standing next to us. We overlook them because we don't have the time. We don't want to listen, or simply, we just don't care. Yet even when Jesus was hanging on that cross, he still took the time to pay attention to two men who probably in our mind don't deserve the time of day. Here are two men, two common criminals. And what does Jesus do? He gives them his full attention. In that moment when he was nailed to the cross, he takes the time and has a conversation. One criminal says, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Then the other criminal lashes out saying, "Don't you fear God, seeing that you've also been sentenced to die? Us too, the ones who are hanging on your left and right, we are rightly condemned. We are receiving the appropriate sentence. But this man here in the middle, the one that most of you are looking up at in disbelief that he is actually hanging here, he has done nothing wrong. Just remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise." When I think about my youth and the whole seeing the Northern Lights, for years I always thought it was a reflection of the polar ice caps. I think some teacher in elementary school told us that is why they occur. Then after realizing what they actually were, these solar storms and why the different colors happen, one can look up at awe in creation. But it also makes me think about these two criminals and what it took to fully understand who was hanging in the middle of them. Let's take a moment and think about our faith story. What did it take for you to come to Christ? What did it take for you to accept that grace to move forward? I'm sure that for many of you, it wasn't to the extremes that it took these two criminals, like the flogging, the mocking and being spat upon, three spikes drove into their bodies. The truth is, it took that old wooden cross for them to understand. And maybe for us, it takes the same. Meaning us being nailed to our crosses before we fully understand. But Pastor, what do we need to understand? I know God. I know the Holy Spirit. I know Jesus. I know that I work hard at being a disciple. But still, I feel there is some level of doubt. So I have to remind myself and ask Jesus to remember me. Because we all know that we have some flaw, and we all have many crosses to bear. And today is that perfect day to remind us of just that, that as we prepare for what is to come, we have to remind ourselves that we are human. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money is in your checkbook. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. What matters is that we actually take the time to look around and see what God's kingdom is truly about. We need to focus ourselves on what is to come. And don't get me wrong here, there are going to be those times when we feel like the crosses we are carrying is going to be so heavy that it pushes us to the ground. But in those moments, we have to realize that we don't need to do it alone. Through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through the relationships that we have built, your family, your friends, they are all here to lighten that load. And that is something we should all be thankful for. When I think about all this today, when I think about going outside to look for that natural display of wondrous color in the northern sky, when I think about Jesus being crucified on that cross, there's one thing that it takes, which is this: patience. When we look ahead over the next few weeks in church, Santa Day, the hanging of the greens, all the other activities, they take patience. As we prepare for the upcoming holidays, we know the patience needed in that. As the excitement builds through Advent, as we hear the stories that ask us to prepare the way, let's take the time and look around and see where we need to help prepare. That is why the story today asks us to have some patience. Patience in knowing that we will meet Jesus. Patience in knowing that here are two people next to our Lord having the worst day ever, then finding out that through him, they get to see his grace. Patience is looking into the eyes of every person and knowing that what is about to come, as it gleams in their hearts with the excitement of the Christ child, knowing that is knowing that there is death and birth. In Jesus, there is life. In Jesus, there is life everlasting, all because he is the patient king. Amen. Would you join me in the hymn of response?